The new legislation, Bill C-63, has got an awful lot of attention, and I'm glad it has. I think that's a very good thing when people pay attention to what their governments are doing. The stated intent of the bill, I think, is something that virtually all of us, I can't think of anyone who wouldn't support, and that's protecting children from online victimization. And there's other aspects to it, too, but it also has some aspects that I think are problematic to many Canadians. That's why I'm so pleased to have on with me Dr. Michael Geist, University of Ottawa Law, also, of course, the Canada Research Chair, Internet and E-commerce, my go-to expert. He does absolutely brilliant stuff on his podcast, on his blog, and on Twitter, keeping us abreast of these kinds of issues. Michael, thanks so much for finding time for us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, Bill C-63 has got, it's one of those things when you start throwing out the name like Bill C-63, at first people sort of glaze over. You know, they're not paying to that attention that they know exactly what the bill's label is. But this one has got more attention than that. I mean, because there's so many aspects to it. And I think changes to the criminal code, changes to, you know, sort of hate speech legislation, that seems to be what's caught the public's attention.
Yeah, no, there's a lot there. This is a bill that involves a lot of different things. I mean, I would characterize it as primarily being about the role and responsibility of internet platforms, which was frankly what the bill was really intended to do. This was supposed to be part of the third part of the government's internet platform regulation initiative, which involved first broadcasting and then news and then now online harms. And I have to say, to the government's credit, their initial plans, I think, when it came to the platform regulation were problematic. They got a lot of criticism on it. And somewhat unusually, compared to some of the other approaches, they actually went back to the drawing board. They brought in a lot of experts. And I think where they listened to those experts, where they dealt specifically with responsibility of platforms, dealing specifically with several enumerated harms, actually, I think the legislation provides a pretty good starting point for debate. I think there's areas where it can be improved, but this is probably the best of the three in terms of those aspects. There are, however, additional elements that have, as you say, attracted a lot of attention around both the Criminal Code and the Human Rights Act that I think are less about the role of platforms, more about addressing concerns respect to hate. I think those are real concerns right now. But I also think that some of the provisions in there are rightly attracting quite a lot of controversy.
Forgive me for digressing, but I have to also think the context for me is when I look at the hate on our streets, the anti-Semitism that we've had expressed in some areas of academia, some areas of union, some, you know, in so many different places, and we haven't seen our, you know, we have existing hate legislation. And it hasn't been enforced on a regular basis or a consistent basis. So I sort of looked at this part and go, kind of, are you kidding? And again, I'm digressing, but I can't help but to mention that we're certainly not enforcing hate crime legislation in so many other contexts throughout this country right now.
Well, I think certainly that's the prism that there are many people who are looking at it. And I think you raised the question, when it comes to hate on our streets, is the problem that we don't have laws that can deal with these effectively, or is it that we're not doing a good enough job of enforcement? And I think you can make a pretty compelling case that there are some laws already on the books. This seeks to enhance that by trying to bring in hate motivation as part of a crime and try to ensure that there are penalties commensurate with that. But I agree with you. I think there has been a lot of concern that the existing laws haven't been well enforced. And I don't think that's necessarily a federal issue, although I think that you need leadership from federal politicians. I think that's often mayors, that's chief of police, that's oftentimes what's a failure at a local level. That said, there is also an online element to much of this. And part of what the legislation is trying to do is deal with the role that large platforms might have in amplifying some of that hate and the concern that they too have a role to play and may not have been stepping up to the plate in the way that we might otherwise hope.
What I see here is it feels like an omnibus bill. There's so many aspects to it, like major aspects to it, that maybe it would have been better to divide so we could have a proper debate, or maybe the goal was not to have us. Because if the government can respond to everything by saying, oh, you support then children being victimized online, you know, I mean, it opens it up to that approach, at least in combating criticism, but it just seems like it's just so many different areas. I mean, and as I said, I think the concerns of the public seems to be focused on, you know, changing a criminal code. I mean, the idea that I could spend life in prison, you know, if I sort of say the wrong thing or run afoul of people in that way, I just find just a head shaker. It just seems so out of bounds and so over the top. And I've talked to several lawyers on it, and they said this ain't going through. But I still say, well, the point is somebody thought it would. Somebody actually thought that was a plan to put in a formal bill.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, respectfully, no one's going to jail for life for something they say. And that's not what that legislation says either, to be honest. I think you're right. It is an omnibus piece of legislation. And personally, I think it's a mistake. I think that they would have been far better to have brought forward legislation that focused on the internet platform related issues, which would have been responsibility of platforms, this duty to act responsibly, identifying the harms. You could add in the elements that deal specifically with reporting of child pornography, which are also platform related. And frankly, I would have thought that if they wanted to move ahead with the criminal code and Human Rights Act provisions, it would have been better in a separate bill. Frankly, it could have been part of the government's, you know, much desired response to the kind of hate that you just said we've seen on the streets. And they could have said, we're trying to deal specifically with that. Here's how we're going to try to deal with it. And then you can have a debate. You know, I think in the case of the criminal code prison sentences, my understanding is what they're really trying to get at is that you can add in a charge based on a crime where hate was an element and that the penalties associated with it would match the associated penalty. So if you've done it for murder, then you've got the life in prison. If you've done something that has a far lesser sentence, then that would again be the commensurate sentence. It's not like you would take something that typically has a 5 years and suddenly it becomes life just because there's hate involved. But it, I don't think, has been a well-drafted provision. It may not be what they intended, but it's what they've put forward, and I would hope that they would be open to changing it.
The other side that certainly concerned me was the powers of the Digital Safety Commission. I mean, didn't they try this kind of thing in Bill C-11, you know, going back a couple of years? And again, it seems like I read the report or the comment by the Canadian Civil Liberties Association said it just gives these government appointees vast authority, in their words, to interpret the law, make up new rules, enforce them, and then serve as judge, jury, and executioner, you know, which kind of makes a mockery of the rule of law we have right now. I mean, it just, you know, sort of it lends itself to people saying this is star chamber. There's no really evidentiary kind of rules, all of that kind of stuff. And I think that should be focused on.
I agree with you. I think there are problems. Let's be clear once again. This is the commission would not have the final say in something. We still have courts, and the courts would still apply. But and so there are some checks and balances. I think there need to be more. I think the powers that have been granted to this commission are significant. I have concerns about both the powers and the amount of accountability there. And I think part of it, in my view, stems from the fact that I think that they have gotten some of the stuff with online harms right. But public trust and confidence in the system is really going to depend upon how it's enforced. And if you're creating this new commission and you don't develop the sort of public trust in it, then I'm not sure the Canadians are going to have confidence in the approach that's being taken. So I do think, I actually think that, you know, in my ideal world, if someone made me minister for the day, I would hive off the criminal code and the Human Rights Act stuff and put that into a separate bill if they want to move ahead with it. Focus on the internet stuff, and in particular on the internet stuff, do a very deep dive into how it's going to be enforced and in ensuring that there are the appropriate checks and balances for the proposed Digital Safety Commission.
Well, I hope they take your advice. They haven't so far on that aspect. I wish they would. Because again, you know, it's one thing to present a bill that I think that would have widespread support, at least addressing an issue, you know, children's harm, et cetera, that people would agree should be addressed. We could debate that. But it's another when they start introducing these things. I mean, I'm sure you noted when Margaret Atwood called this the Trudeau Orwellian online harm bill, because, of course, anyone can make that complaint, and that can be refused to, of course. But that whole process seems so fraught with real problems.
Yeah, and so then again, that moves us out of the internet stuff. This is why this becomes so problematic, because it's not the provisions with the Human Rights Commission do not involve the online specific stuff. And on the Human Rights Act, I agree. I think that there's a real risk that this weaponizes the complaint system. And you know, I'm not sure that the language that Ms. Atwood used is totally accurate. But regardless, yes. I do think that there's legitimate concerns about a system. Where if we just look at what we've seen over the last number of months, that possibility of weaponizing complaints flowing on both sides, I'm not sure it does anyone any good. I don't think that it gets at the underlying issues in terms of amplification of hate. I'm not sure that it has the kind of desired impact of trying to deal effectively with the hate that exists. And so it may provide some people with the sense of feeling good that they have some outlet to take those complaints, but there is a bit of a price to be paid as part of that.
Have they defined exactly what hate would be or harm? Because I see that expression, I'm talking now in the general gestalt, you know, having really broadened what is, you know, someone's accused of being a racist for, well, look at Selena Robinson, for God's sake, saying that's a crappy piece of land. And that was part of a much bigger statement talking about the ignorance of the Holocaust on the part of, you know, students. And she was targeted in that way. But my point being that, man, suddenly anything can be racist, or suddenly anything can be harmful or hurtful, et cetera. Have they, sort of drilled down into what they consider specifically to qualify as that kind of language?
Yes, there are provisions. There are definitions for all of these things in the bill. Mm-hmm. They're not making it up as they go along. It's generally a pretty high, not generally, it is a high standard for each of the different elements that are there, whether we're talking about, you know, revenge porn and what that means, content that foments hatred. In fact, they specifically say in the legislation that fomenting hatred isn't things that involve expressing detestation or vilification, disdain, dislike, trying to discredit, humiliate, hurt, or offend. It explicitly says that is not fomenting hatred. So yes, there are definitions there. They also seek to rely on the courts and the Supreme Court of Canada there. That doesn't mean that there won't be some debates about whether or not even those rules are right. But no, it's not just sort of general. They actually do have definitions.
Well, I'm thinking again, I'm heavily influenced by how appalled I've been since October 7th. I never thought we were in a country that would have such huge expression of anti-Semitism, you know, and, you know, if that wasn't, now I'm looking at the existing hate crime legislation and talking to several lawyers, that certainly, what we've seen certainly qualifies as hate crime in this country. Again, I'm not saying that's in the bill. I'm just saying that's sort of the context I'm looking at this at to some degree. Mm-hmm. That what the heck constitutes all of this stuff. And plus, I mean, and I'm happy to hear you say that they've defined what these things are, because in the general conversation, just about everything qualifies these days. Are you concerned though, or is it accurate to say they are throwing out the rules of evidence, that this could be, you know, the Digital Safety Commission could do it in private, you know, and you don't get to address your accuser, for example?
Yeah, so that's complicated. Mm-hmm. Yes and no. So yes, in the sense, and you raised two issues, secret hearings and the evidence side. On the evidence side, yes, the evidence, actually the law does say that there are the specific rules of evidence don't necessarily apply. It doesn't mean there won't be rules of evidence. It means that the commission will establish what some of those are. It appears the government is hopeful that the commission can move expeditiously, and one can understand why they would want that to be the case. You know, if you've got revenge porn or something targeted, bullying that's targeting a child or something that is raising those issues, you want it to be able to move fast. But of course, with those kinds of powers, I don't think you could simply say that, well, we don't need any rules of evidence here. I think that itself raises some real problems. In terms of whether or not the hearings themselves will be open or closed, the law says that the default is that they are open. But that in exceptional circumstances, they can decide to hold something that's closed. And again, one can understand why that might be the case. If someone, for example, was a victim of revenge porn, or it was a child, mm-hmm. and, you know, the parents along with the child bring forward the complaint, I don't think we would want to see the people who have been directly affected re-victimized again by outing that in a public way. So I believe that's what they are getting at with this. But again, we would probably do better if there was a bit more specificity around how that takes place, the standards under which the commission might move from the default open into the closed, again, to try to bring out that greater public confidence. And I think that's where they've fallen short in some ways here, because you're asking all the right questions. They're the questions that should be asked. And I think that for some of them, there are real answers, but in some instances, the government, at least at this stage, hasn't provided them. And I think that's, I think it's a mistake.
And I'm going back to your one of your solutions or recommendations would be this never should have been one bill. It should have been separated, these two issues. And one I think, and both, every bill deserves discussion and debate. But the second side of this, I think their challenge is still, trust me. You know, trust me, we'll do this. Trust me, we'll do that. And it's a period where declining trust. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm in the media. I'm in a profession where there is declining trust in the media. And but every other aspect, I mean, whether one agrees with that or not, or is a full supporter of the government or not, I mean, the polls are reflecting that in so many different areas. Ask them about healthcare. You know, the trust in the system. Will I get treatment? We just got one of those polls this past week. The media, as I said, the list is a long one. So I think that's what spurred some of the immediate criticism. Like, well, what, you're going to be the judge and jury in the end? And I appreciate you commenting and telling us that they have been specific in some areas and maybe left some where it leads more communication and specificity. If I can say that five times fast, I'll get a job. But you know what I'm talking about, Mike.
Absolutely. And, you know, also, I know the response from some in the government will be that you know, legislation sets a framework and that some of the specifics come by way of regulation and later. And I understand that. But I also have to say that it's a mistake that this is, and I think you're right, there is a trust deficit right now in certainly in many communities, and we're dealing with high stakes issues. And yeah. So I think that really requires governments to come forward with as much as possible, fully fleshed out ideas and an openness and willingness to adjust on the fly. And, you know, we haven't seen that as much in the past on some of these other bills with the government where they brought stuff forward and they basically said, well, this is fully baked. And if you're, and you kind of made reference to it earlier, if you're an opponent of it, well, then you're opposing ensuring kids are safe. And I would like to think that the government, or would hope the government, will dispense with that approach on this. This is important stuff. Yeah. There is no one that I would hope is sort of against trying to ensure that kids are safe or dealing with the kind of hate that we've seen. And so, so if everyone's trying to get to that roughly the same endpoint, then it's a question of, okay, what route are we taking? How much specifics do we need along the way? And I think we do need to build the kind of confidence we've been talking about, more specifics. And they're definitely, so there's areas where they haven't provided enough of that kind of detail. And then there's areas where I think they've badly drafted. We've talked about a couple of those. And then I think there are areas that they just would do better to say, this is a separate debate. Let's have that debate, but let's also try to do some good when it comes to some of the platform related issues and those online harms.
Just to finish off, is it your impression that this bill is still open for debate that way, where we could see changes, especially significant ones? I mean, I love your point. There's a lot up for grabs here. You know, these are high stakes. Okay, I did an editorial to start off the show, just talking about how many areas where this, you know, I'm up worried about some of the economics and financial stuff we're seeing, because you can't just go business as usual. We've got some problems. And I think this is a great example, though, where the stakes are high. We should pay attention. I'm just wondering, again, just your impression. Are they open to making some significant changes to those aspects we've alluded to here?
Yeah, I actually would say, and it's easy to be skeptical given the experience over the last number of years, but I do have the sense that there is at a minimum more openness on this bill than there have been in some of the other bills. I think part of that may stem from the fact that they did make a change in terms of where the responsibility for this bill lies. Yeah. So the earlier internet bills were Canadian Heritage bills. That was initially their plan, was that this would also be fall under Canadian Heritage. They switched it to Justice. And I think Justice does have a bit more of a history of working through some of the specifics and more of an openness to change. I think they have a greater willingness both to engage with a lot of external experts that can better anticipate how implementation might go, identify certain issues or problems that might arise along the way. And, you know, one gets the sense that this bill for this minister, I mean, really, it becomes his showcase bill, is personal. And I know Varani, who's the minister, has been actively involved in this issue for quite some time, well before he became minister. I can recall a number of conferences and events I was at for years ago on online harms and consultations I participated in where he was there. And so I do get the sense that this is a bill that is personal for him, that is one that he does want to see addressed. And that's actually a good starting point for being more open to changes, because when you get a minister who sees this purely through a political lens and it's kind of like, I just got to tick this box and I'm not open to this debate, then you end up with what we ended up with on some of those other bills. And my hope would be that that will not be the case this time.
I hope too. And in the meantime, I want to just say, Michael, you're doing fabulous work. You know, you're a guy I check in on all the time because it's always thorough, well considered, and of course from a background of expertise. So I'd recommend going to Michael Geist. Geist is G-E-I-S-T Twitter. You can check him out in the blog and his podcast Law Bites. All of that stuff provides tremendous information and background for those of us who are know how important this issue is and want to turn to someone who spends their life in it. So Michael, thank you for taking the time with us on Money Talks, but thanks for your other work too.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the kind words and thanks for having me.